Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the truth that is just, I think we're kind of basking in this morning. Let your light shine bright and strong this morning. Tear down every yoke of bondage, expose every lie, every deception in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to continue our brand new series this morning as a church family called Origins. If you're new to Grace, we want to welcome you. We're so glad that you're here and hope that your family can be part of our family. The Lord in this series desires to reintroduce us to our true selves. If you were here last week, I think you experienced some of that, and just so awesome to see God arise and his enemies be scattered. And the truth of God gets elevated. The devil has a runaway. He can't stick around. And so the Lord's wanting to develop us as leaders, reestablish our significance and value in him, and of course, crush the head of our adversary once again, who tries to get us to believe things about ourselves that are not true. I want to start this morning with the word origin, the point or place where something begins, arises, or is sourced. Everybody say sourced. That's very important here. The point or place where something begins, arises, or is sourced. If it begins with a certain source, it begins in a certain source, it needs to abide there. And we'll be looking at that here this morning. Man's greatest threat, your greatest threat in this life is ignorance of who you really are. Your divine design given to you by your manufacturer. You did not make yourself. God has written things into you that you cannot escape. And so ignorance of who made you, why he made you, how he made you, your design, who he made you to be is a real threat. And so God's bringing his light into that darkness, truth into that ignorance. We saw last week God's plan is to lord the earth from the heavens. Genesis 1:1 says that in the beginning God created two worlds, the heavens and the earth, and they're simultaneously created to work together. And God wants to lord the earth realm, the natural realm, from the spirit realm, the realm of the spirit, and from the heavenly realm. So for him to do that, he's going to need a fantastic creation, a once-in-a-lifetime creation, like yourself, that is part heaven and part earth, that's one part spirit, but also one part natural, one part that is seen and one part that is unseen, okay? And that is you. God chose you. And isn't it interesting that the unseen God can communicate to the unseen part of man, then he'll give you an earth suit, so you're made in his image by the Spirit, not because God has blonde hair and blue eyes, okay? You're made in his image by the Spirit. The God who's unseen communicates with the unseen part of man and then gives you an earth suit to make you seen and puts you on the scene. God put you on the scene because his Spirit, which is unseen, can speak to the unseen part of you, and then he can be seen because you're on the scene. I hope you got it. If you didn't, get the CD. It'll make sense to you when you break it down. So you're an amazing, significant creation. Touch your neighbor and say, you're an amazing, significant creation. Now, by the time we're done, I hope you believe that. You sound like you... not sure. And we got to come to terms with the fact that we really are different. I'm all for the spotted owl and the humpback whale, okay? I'm all for them. But they're not as significant as you are. They're not as important as you are. Amen. Okay? The humpback whale doesn't commune with God every day because he doesn't have a spirit inside like unto God. That's you that has that spirit. And so if you have a hard time hearing the Genesis account and thinking, man, am I really that important? And it's just a head scratcher to you. Let me give you a little bit of God's rationale out of the new covenant, because I realize a fall has transpired since Genesis 1, but God hadn't changed his mind. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 1:25. This is the New Century Version. Even the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. See, we all argue with God and we don't understand, why would you pick me? I wouldn't have picked myself. Well, here's why. This is what he's doing. Verse 26, brothers and sisters, look at what you were when God called you. Not many of you were wise in the way the world judges wisdom. Not many of you had great influence. Not many of you came from important families. Two of my favorite words in the Bible, but God. Come on, say it with me. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. He chose the weak things, you and me, to put to shame the strong. And then continuing on, he chose what the world thinks is unimportant and what the world looks down on and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. God did this so that nobody could brag in his presence. Because of God, verse 30, you are in Christ Jesus. Amen, somebody? Who has become for us now wisdom from God. We're the wisdom of God in Christ, walking around. For in Christ, we are put right with God. Well, you're going to have to come to terms with that. You've been made right with God. You've been made right with God. Congratulations. If you're in Christ, you're right with God. And you've been made holy. How about that? And have been, past tense, set free from sin. If you're trying to get free, you're in unbelief. You've already been set free. So what do? Then you believe it and receive it. You accept it. I am free. So that when sin comes and tempts you, you say, I've already been delivered of you. Now, if instead you say, yeah, sin's coming at me, let me wrestle with you, let me see if I can beat you and be free, well, you're in big trouble. But if you believe in your heart, you're already free. Now you're empowered. Can I get a witness that the Word of God, which says you are free, has power to perform what He says? So the Word comes to Jody that she's set free and that she's right with Christ. There's power in that Word to perform rightness and freedom. She just needs to receive it and believe it. All right, so you've been made holy, been set free. Verse 31, as the scripture says, if people want to brag, well, let them brag in the Lord. So you and I are here on this planet overqualified to be used of God because it's are not wise, are not strong, are not any of that. God's never asked us, what can you bring to the table? Right? When he called you, he didn't say, hey, how much money you got? He didn't say, how much strength you got in your own ability? I'm looking for really strong people. He never said that. So we just got to quit arguing with God and humbly agree with the fact that you're not an accident, you're an assignment. You're not a mistake, you're a mission put here by God's hand himself all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. Now, let's review a little bit. In Genesis 1 last week, verse 11 through 25, 10 times God uses this phrase, according to its kind. You remember talking about that? God says 10 times, in verses 11 through 25, the word according to its kind. So here's a little sample for you. Genesis 1:24. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind. Cattle, according to its kind. Everything that creeps on the earth, according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness or kind. Isn't that interesting? We're going to make some cattle, and they'll be able to reproduce according to their kind. We'll make some oranges and orange trees. They'll be able to reproduce according to their kind. And then he says, hey, I want to make something according to our kind, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us make a creature, a creation, according to our likeness and our image. And he says, in verse 26, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth and all the creeps on the earth. Some of you were late to the party, but you got it. Who did God give dominion to in the earth? Us. All right, and then reading on. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them, male and female, to rule together. co-rulers, amen, to take dominion together. Verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish and the birds and every living thing that moves on the earth. How about that? Man here is not one person. It's a species. It's a type of creation that we're going to make according to our kind, according to our likeness. That makes you very significant, church. You're absolutely, undeniably God's most impressive creation. God designed you to like what he likes, love what he loves, and to oppose what he opposes. This is written into you. You can't change it. I'll talk more about that later. God designed you in the Garden of Eden to partner with him. Remember, he's unseen, but he wants to rule very benevolently, very lovingly. He wants to govern the earth. It sounds like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the Father's plan that was announced through Jesus Christ, confirmed, I would say, through Jesus Christ. Because here he's saying the same thing, that he wants to govern the earth from the heavenly realm. So he wants you to partner with him and be a good steward, not only over earth's resources, natural resources, but over spiritual resources. To be a steward of the love of God, a steward of his glory, a steward of his patience, his goodness, his kindness. Amen. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I want you to notice another key phrase that happens over and over and over again. And it's the phrase, and God said. If you look in Genesis 1, verse 3, it says, and God said. Verse 6, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. Verse 14, verse 20, 24, and 26 all say, and God said. Now, everything God creates then, he creates by the power of his word. His word has creative power. So he speaks it, and there it is. You want him to speak a word to you. When God brings order, can I get a witness? There's chaos, right, over everything. Nothing's really ordered yet. He starts ordering it by his word. If your life is a mess, he's going to release a word to you. He'll speak to you. If your family is a mess, he's going to speak a word to your family. If your marriage is a mess, he's going to release a word to you. That's how he brings order. And then the beautiful part is his word has power to perform whatever he's asking you to do. Peter knew it. Peter was frightened when he saw Jesus walking on water, but what did he say? Lord, if it's you, what? Command me to come. Because if you speak it to me, there'll be power for me to walk on water. And he did. So God's making everything by the power of his word, including you and me in Genesis. So you're made by the word and for the word. Your heart sings in response to the word of God. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that he gives you commands, and his commands are not burdensome. They're not weighty. They're like wings. Why? Because he made you. Like we said last week, it's gasoline in the car. Your car celebrates every day you put gas in it and not cottage cheese. Amen? Just like we celebrate when we participate with God's divine nature, with the fuel of the Spirit that we were created by and for. Now, notice, when he calls things into order and into being in Genesis through his word, what he does is he first decides what he wants, then he decides why he wants it, and then he decides how he wants it to be, and then what it'll be made out of. God has to decide what is it going to be made out of. I'm going to say it one more time. He's going to decide what does it have to be made out of. And so we see here, he's going to speak to the dimension he wants to bring it forth. In Genesis chapter 1, he's going to speak to the dimension that he wants to bring it forth. In verse 11, the Lord said to the earth, bring forth vegetation. God goes on to say in verse 20 and in verse 24 some other things. Let me throw them at you. God says to the earth, bring forth vegetation. He says to the firmament, to bring forth sun, moon, stars. He speaks to the water to bring forth fish. And in verse 26, he speaks to himself. And God said, let us make man in our own image. So you are spirit. You're not only made by him and for him, you're made of him. See, stars have to abide in the firmament or they'll die. Why? Because their origin was the firmament. And whatever is in the star is also in the firmament because it came from there. And if a star falls from the firmament, it dies. A plant has to abide in soil because it originated in soil. Whatever is in the soil is also in the plant. Fish abide in water because fish came from an original source of water. It originated in water, so it has to abide there. If a fish comes out of water, it'll die. And you, oh, one more thing. Whatever's in the water is also in the fish. And you, my friends, came from God. And whatever is in him is in you. And we'll let the devil tell us we don't matter. We'll let the enemy tell us we're not significant. We're random. We'll even go to school and maybe hear that we came from cosmic goo. No, a monkey passed his gene pool onto me. He passed his moral code onto me. That's garbage. It's not true. God spoke to the earth to bring forth vegetation, to the waters to bring the fish, the firmament to bring the stars, and he spoke to himself to bring you. Amen. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Whatever's in the soil also is in the plant. Whatever's in God is also in you. My goodness. We be tea. Amen. And don't forget that whatever he creates is going to have to abide in the dimension that sources it. Fish stay in the water because water is life to the fish. You are spirit. So you need to abide in the Spirit, worship by the Spirit, pray by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, talk by the Spirit. Does that make sense to you? Whenever we choose not the Spirit, we get frustrated. We find death in many forms. Maybe not physically, but how about frustration, madness, chaos? When you let the flesh rule you. Why? Because you're not made of the flesh, you're made of the Spirit of God. And in Genesis 2, he's going to give you an actual earth suit to put the real you inside of. Because you can't be in the earth dimension without an earth suit. How many of you know we made a mess of things? All right. And then God came to fix it. Did he put on an earth suit? Yes, he did. Because if he didn't, it would be illegal. So Christ comes as one of us in the earth suit to recapture what was lost. Now, does this make sense to you now? John 15:5, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. He goes on to say, you'll wither away. If you don't abide in me, if you don't live in the Spirit, my words are spirit and life. If you don't live in me, remain in me, abide in me, you're going to wither and die like a plant out of soil. Because Jesus understands creation. He was there. Amen, somebody. Amen. Touch your neighbor and say, he was there. So I'm going to say again, you're not just... This is why God loves you so much. He loves you so much, he would give his own life for you. You're his splendid creation. Because you're not only made by him and for him and in his likeness and like him, you're made of him. My goodness. Matthew 22, I mentioned it last week. I'll put a different spin on it. Jesus said, whatever has Caesar's image on it has to be given back to Caesar. What's he saying? Whatever originated with Caesar, if he made the coin, it's got to be given back to him. That coin with Caesar's image on it came from Caesar. Whatever has God's image on it has to be rendered back to God. If you live outside of the will of God, outside of the Spirit of God, outside of the love of God, outside of the nature of God, you're going to find frustration and disappointment. And you can't change this about yourself. See, I thought reading the Bible, I thought it was an ultimatum. No, it's my instruction manual. That's why the commands of the Lord aren't ultimatums. They're liberating to me. 1 Corinthians 6:13 says, the body is for the Lord and the Lord is for the body. I'll say this, my heart is for the Lord and the Lord is for my heart. My mind is for the Lord and the Lord is for my mind. Everything clicks, everything works with mathematical precision in Steve when he's abiding in the Spirit because the Spirit is who made me. I'm not a fish out of water in the Spirit, I'm at home. We had a woman in first service get gloriously born again this morning. I mean, she was undone, tears all over her face, but she was so light, she was so free, she was so happy. I've never seen a human being receive the Spirit of Christ and come home to their divine design and feel like it was weird. She wasn't out of place. She was home. She was a fish in water. Amen. Go ahead, give him praise. It works with mathematical precision. Look at Romans 8, 6, NIV. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is what? Life and peace. Why? Because the mind is for the Lord, and the Lord is for the mind. We're made by Him, we're made for Him, we're made of Him. This is why your body is not neutral, it's moral. Your body is moral. I was at my mom's house visiting this week, and she had a friend over from out of town, and I enjoyed our visit, because we were just talking about how man is made for and at home in Christ. I told her the story of a woman whose ex-husband had done horrible things to her, but she forgave her ex-husband, and she described it as incredibly freeing. She was set free. I told you the story last week of a man here at Grace Church who had forgiven his coworker, and he said, I've never been so free. And then there's a story of racism where you had two nationalities. One was a college student from China. The other college student was from Japan. For whatever reason, they hated each other. And then one day, one of them took deathly ill, and the Spirit of the living God, the manufacturer, spoke to one of those other college students. And he said, I want you to go take him soup every day until he's well. And that young man received that word. He received it. He didn't know God, but he took it as instruction from God, and they became fast friends. You mean the Spirit of the living God, his truth, conquers racism? Yes, it does. It's greater than racism. And I'm so tired of all this psychobabble on Twitter and the news and all this stuff we got to do to end racism. You want to end racism? Everybody start walking in truth and see the real value of human beings on this planet, and they'll crush it. It'll crush it, crush it, crush it, crush it. You don't end racism by telling Sylvia, well, you can't say certain things, or Braden, don't say certain things. Let me control your behavior. Let me control Josh's behavior so he didn't offend anybody. Just get everybody under Christ, walking in truth, and recognize the value of human beings and creation, and we'll crush racism in the United States of America. Let's get back to truth. Let's get back to a word from our manufacturer, the one who knows how we work. This is how we work. Jesus never said, this could be, try this on, I'm just a philosopher, this is what I think. No, he said, truly, truly, here's the truth, come to terms with it. I'm out of the boat, amen. 2 weeks in a row, he's out of the boat. And you know what I find it? Liberating. I find it freeing to be out of the boat. Come on, give God praise in this house this morning. The place you began, the place of your origin, your initial design, and listen, your designated source, design and designated. Same word, your designated source is God, the Spirit of the living God. Don't you get tired of all the anger and strife that is propagated in our country? In the name of, they think they're doing something good. You cannot achieve a righteous end through unrighteous methods. Ever. It'll never work. It's a law. You can only achieve righteousness through righteous methods. The wrath of man, James chapter 1, will not work the righteousness of God. And you getting mad and in the flesh at this group and that group and, you know, these people, it's not going to solve anything. We've got to get back to truth. We've got to humble ourselves and recognize if this is my value before my Creator, it's your value too. And honestly, just the fact that our earth suits, our containers are just different colors and different sizes, who cares? The real us is the Spirit inside, like unto God. That's why in heaven, everybody's happy. Everybody likes each other. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. How sad was it when we just forfeited the earth to the enemy and to the ideas of man when we thought, well, Jesus came so we could all die and go to heaven. No, he came so he could change the earth to look like heaven. That's why he came. And I'm not saying we don't, you know, to be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. I know we're going to heaven when we cease, pass from this dimension and go back to our originator. But I'm telling you, We can't forfeit the earth to the enemy and the ideas of man. Man is in the dark. You know, and something I told first service is, I realize there's a lot of perversion, there's a lot of crazy things, crazy people going on in the world, but what do you expect? If they don't know him, they live in the dark, and they can't change without him. So you can go out and condemn them all, or you can take them by the hand and take your fellow human beings to the truth, to the light, to the life, to the way, to the kingdom, to the... And the list goes on and on. The love they're made for, the joy they're made for, the peace they're made for. Maybe it's time we quit trying to out-argue all the pagans. And we just out-loved them, out-served them. You know, let the difference be in our person. Let the difference be in our attitudes. Because we've been touched by the Master. We've gotten a word from our manufacturer. You are free in Christ's likeness, never bound in Christ's likeness. Always free. And write this one down. Jesus is the right thing to do in every situation. I just solved everybody's problem right there. You can call up for counseling and say, Brother Steve, my wife cussed me out. What should I do? I'm going to say, Jesus is the right thing to do, the right way to respond, the right attitude to have in every situation. Because you're made by him, for him, and of him. Well, my boss, he fired me unjustly. What should I do? Christ is the right thing to do in every situation. Amen? Doesn't mean we don't speak truth. You can speak truth. Just do it with a Christ-like attitude. That way you don't slay everybody. I'm getting quiet. I'm either preaching really good or I lost you somewhere. I'm going to say it again. You'll always be free in Christ's likeness, not bound in Christ's likeness. He's the right thing to do in every situation. Galatians 5:1 says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. So if we're made for freedom, then you're made for truth. And so God creates you to extend his glory and his influence into the earth realm from the heavenly realm because you're of him. I'm going to say again, the unseen God talks to the unseen part of you who is now seen because of your earth suit and placed on the scene for him. You're his ambassador, his representative. Make sense? Isn't it good to have purpose now? I'm not random. I'm not an accident. You know, and people try to say, well, Brother Steve, I was born out of fornication. You know, my parents had a date. They weren't married. They did stuff they shouldn't have done. And listen, you might have come through your parents, but you came from God. I don't care how you got here. Even somebody said, well, my mom was raped and I was a product of that. Listen, you're a product of God. We might come through our parents, but we come from God by the hand of God. That's why you're not an accident. You're an assignment. God, time after time, who is eternal, he's not limited by time, opens time and places people in it, people just like you. Did any of you ask to be born? Then somebody put you here at just the right time because your generation has need of your gifting. What you're carrying on the inside from your Creator that he put in you and called you to before you were born. I'm going to show you that in Scripture. Your generation, this world has need of you. And we read these things and we'll let the devil tell us we're worthless. But how many times have I said the opposite of what he says is true? So next time he says you're worthless, just start praising God and say, thank you, devil, for reminding me how valuable I am. Because the opposite of everything you tell me is the truth. Amen. God wants the unseen to manifest in the seen realm, and it's called King's dominion. He's a king. He rules the heavenly realm. And he extends that benevolent, kind, loving, peaceful rule and demeanor into the earth realm. That's his desire. Let me show you this on the screen. When you read the Genesis account of your creation, there's only one conclusion. God put you here to know him, walk with him, and extend his purpose and glory throughout the whole earth. And I would add to that, crushing every giant that stands in your way. Crushing every Pharaoh that tries to oppose you. Doesn't the Bible say in Matthew 16 that the church that Jesus is building, no gate hell throws up will be able to stand in her way? That's what it says. Jesus said it. The church that he's building, not one gate hell throws up will be able to thwart or stop you, the church. When we know who we are, we'll quit praying away our Goliaths and we'll start slaying them. Come on, somebody. The moment we figure out who we really are, we'll quit praying Goliath away and we'll start slaying him. Woo! Oh my goodness. By the hand of the living God. Because I'll remind you, David did not come to Goliath in his own strength. He said, "You come to me with spear and with sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you in his authority, his power, and his backing." You'll begin to recognize that different problems and oppositions you face is really just an opportunity for God to show you who you really are and the passion that lives in you. If Goliath had never stood up and cussed and cursed the God of Israel, would that passion in David ever been stirred? Because I'm telling you, without Goliath, we don't have King David. Something stirred in that boy, and by the hand of God, he slayed that giant. He became king. And David didn't even make the lineup of his own dad. His own dad lined out for the prophet. "Here's all my sons." David didn't even make the lineup. Yet God said, "Him." My goodness. The Lord says this: stop running from your greatness. Stop running from your significance. The problems you face were allowed to reveal the greatness of God at work in you. Not to show you you don't matter. And we've all been there. We think, "Well, I got problems or this strife or this trial or whatever. I guess God doesn't love me." That's a lie from the devil. It could just be an opportunity for the passion and purpose of God, the assignment he put in you from before you were born, to be awakened, to solve that problem. David came and solved the Goliath problem. Jesus Christ came and solved the sin problem through his life, death, and resurrection. Jesus didn't pray away sin. David didn't pray away Goliath. They faced him and slew them. And that's who you are. Touch your neighbor and say, "That's who you are." The truth is, you're significant. You're worth more than you've been told, probably more than you even believe about yourself. But belief is the issue. And God's trying to raise us to new levels of faith in this house, new levels of belief, that we begin to understand God can't lie. If this is what he says, if this is who I am, then this is who I am. And I'm coming to terms with it. God filled you with purpose, gifting, and function even before you were born. And the Spirit of God in this house has declared war on all lies, all deception, and all ignorance that's coming from the enemy, where he's allowed us to believe things about ourselves that are not true. Amen. Imagine if we all decided to believe God and quit believing the lies we've told ourselves for too long. What would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. We'd have a wave of awakened and activated leaders in the body of Christ that would change the world. And that's what God's after. We are entering a new wave for the next, I don't know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. I don't know. God is looking for leaders in the body of Christ. I've told you this before. Some of you will get equipped here and you'll stay here. Some of you will get equipped here and be sent. But I'm for whatever changes the world. We're for whatever changes the world around here. Amen. We don't own any of you. Jesus owns all of you. I'm just an under-shepherd. I don't own any of you. I'm here to help equip you, teach you the truth about who you are, get you elevated in Christ, and then go deal the devil some damaging blows. Amen? If you believe that, clap your hands this morning. I believe it. Once we know who we are in Christ, we see truth like God sees truth. We're on the pathway to being an ambassador. And you may say, "Hey, This was all before the fall. What about after the fall?" Okay, I'm glad you asked. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Look at this. This is so significant. "Before I formed you in the womb," this is God talking to Jeremiah, "before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Do you think that's true for you as well? Absolutely it is. "Before you were born, I sanctified you." What he means here is I set you apart for my purpose. How many of you think that's true about you? It absolutely applies to you. Don't write this off as Jeremiah as some super holy person. Jesus said in Matthew 11, of all the prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest in the Old Testament. But I tell you the truth, whoever's least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. You're greater than any Old Testament prophet because you're born again and filled with the Spirit. You're different than the Old Testament prophets. You're a new creation in Christ. So he says this, before you were born, I set you apart. I ordained you a prophet to the nations, and he wasn't even born yet. And then Jeremiah did what we all do. It can't be. No way, you got the wrong guy. I can't even speak. I'm just a child. I'm just a youth, man. I'm no good. Moses said it. Gideon said it. I like Gideon. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks, born to the wrong family. He said, but I tell you what, I'll put a fleece out. If it's wet, I know it's you. It was wet. And he said, I'll put another one out. And if it's dry, it'll be you. And it was dry. And God's saying, stop running from your greatness. Stop running from your assignment. I'm going to do it. I know you got nothing. Amen? That's why I read you 1 Corinthians 1. We're overqualified. We're not worthy, not smart, not any of that apart from Christ. But we're not apart from Christ. Amen? We're not. So it's two sides. Humility is a two-sided coin. Yeah, here's who I'd be without Christ. The other side of that coin is who I am in Christ because I'm not without him. So anyway, he makes excuses. I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, don't say you're a youth. He totally ignored that you can't speak. Don't say you're a youth, for you'll go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Look at this. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. It's not Jeremiah. It's not you, buddy. Tracy, it's not you. Larry, it's not you. Steve, it's not you. It's going to be my words in your mouth. Verse 10, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. He set Jeremiah over nations and kingdoms, and Jeremiah hadn't done anything. Remember in Matthew 3, Jesus comes up out of the water at his water baptism. And God says, you're my beloved son, and you I'm well pleased. Jesus hadn't done any miracles, hadn't started any ministry, nothing like that has started. God speaks your end at your beginning. And he did it with Christ so that every miracle and every ministry Jesus did, he would do from his Father's love, not for it. Which is where most of the church is. We pray for people so God will like us more. It's so shallow and selfish. God loves you. Now go out and minister to people. Not for his love, from his love. That's what Jesus did. If he does one miracle, if he heals a blind man so God would love him, he's in unbelief because God already did love him. So God tells you on the front end who you are and what you possess. He's going to name your end from the beginning. And then verse 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? Everybody say, what do you see? And he says, well, I see this almond branch thing. How many of you think he saw a physical almond branch? No, he saw it in the spirit. God is. And then God says, you see correctly? Let's get started. Maybe God is just waiting on the church to see what he sees. To see correctly. He names your end from your beginning. He tells you who you are. And then he says, Annie, what do you see? When we see what he sees, when our perspective is his perspective, we're ready. People ask all the time, where's the miracles today? Where's the creative miracles? You know, arms growing out and all this stuff. When are we going to see that stuff? Maybe we haven't arrived to see what he sees yet. We got to get secure in the truth so that we recognize when all the miracles happen, it's not us. It's him. Amen. According to this passage, God ordained your days. He knew your end from your beginning. God knew Jeremiah before he was formed. He set him apart, gave him gifts. Jeremiah didn't even believe him, which I mentioned. I'm tired of the doctrines of men, philosophies of this age robbing us of our purpose and our value. You're so much on God's radar. He completed you before he started you. And you're not going to be God's first failure. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. So he's destined you for influence. He's destined you for impact. He's destined you for leadership in the earth. Isn't it astonishing? If we put on the sign out there, you know, five ways to live your best life and make yourself happy and turn everything around, the whole community come out. You put on their leadership conference. You're destined to be a leader. Very few come out. Why? Because the culture has convinced all the human beings none of us are leaders. That only the supposed political people, they're supposed to be leading. Hogwash. The body of Christ will lead the change that happens in the United States of America. No politician carries the goods unless he's born again. The kingdom of God is the answer for what ails this country, not some politician's ideas. All they do is fuss and fight all the time. Prayer Shield yesterday, one of the ladies, just her heart was heavy because of the hatred towards the president, and then the hatred from the Democrats and the Republicans, and then how much the Republicans hate the Democrats. We need a foot-washing revival in Washington, D.C. Let's all humble ourselves. Quit trying to unite around man's ideas. Humble yourselves. Acknowledge your way might not be the only way unless it's God's way, and then we'll agree upon it. Am I preaching good right there? God destined you for impact and leadership and influence. And how do I know that? He gave you his name. He gave you his spirit. He gave you his son. He gave you his word. He gave you his kingdom. He gave you his love. He gave you his very own blood. And we'll let the devil tell us we don't matter. Think about that. Think of everything he's given you, all the provision. Don't tell me you're not significant to God. He loves you. You're made by him, for him, and literally of him. One last thing, I'm going to give you a few of these. I need to wrap it up. God's purpose summoned your existence. These are just some cold, hard facts for you, just some truth. God's purpose summoned your existence. So get over yourself and realize that you're important. You're a spirit being made in the image and likeness of God. You're made by him, for him, and of him. So walk by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. There's truth that exists beyond what you think, feel, or believe. It's funny, I meet people all the time, and they're like, well, if I don't believe it, it's not true. Okay, all right. Truth exists before you got here. Truth will be here long after you're gone. And not only that, your behavior doesn't even determine the truth about you. It might reveal you believe a lie about yourself. All right, just because you choose to believe something awful about yourself doesn't mean it's true. Because you're not determining truth, you're going to discover truth. Your belief about yourself is more important than your behavior. You know what my prayer for you is that your personal assessment and opinion of yourself is not your greatest hindrance to being great and doing great in God's kingdom. Don't let your own opinion of yourself be your greatest adversary. Amen, somebody. Get rid of that stinking thinking. The most humble thing you can do is agree with who God says you are. Your belief about yourself is more important than your behavior. The next one, if knowing the truth sets you free, believing a lie will set you into bondage. Know and see yourself as God does by the Spirit. By the way, Stephen, you guys can come. I'm sorry, go ahead and come. Know and see yourself as God does by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5:16, from now on we know no man after the flesh. Stop knowing yourself after the flesh. Stop knowing yourself by how you perform. Start knowing yourself by the Spirit. Know yourself in truth. Look at this one. What you do doesn't determine who you are. What God has done inside you determines who you are. Congratulations, you're a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. By definition, you're not who you used to be. If Christ has made you new, you are new. Once you're born again and placed in Christ, you don't get to determine who you are. You discover who you are by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. I love that passage. Nobody knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. And you're a thing of God. You're of him. So the only way you're going to really know who you are and discover who you are is with the help of the Spirit of God. Make sense? That's why we need sinners to receive the Spirit of God, not change their behavior. The Spirit of God will empower them to change behavior towards righteousness. Make sense? Okay. And then, lastly, your performance doesn't determine what's true about you. It determines whether you experience the life and peace of what's true about you. How many of you believe that God loves everybody? I do. God's love. So he loves everybody. But there's people all over Oklahoma today who are not experiencing the life and peace of the truth because their belief and behavior tells them otherwise. So my behavior matters. But it matters so I can experience the life and peace of being one that God loves. Not so he'll love me. He already does. Thank God every day for who God made you in Christ. It'll take you out of earning mode. The moment you're thanking Him, guess what? You're not earning it. And you're at rest. Wake up every day. Thank you, God, that you love me. Thank you that I'm righteous. Thank you that I'm a new creation. Thank you for everything you've made me. Thank Him for it so you're not out working for it. Amen? Last one, speak what God says about you out loud over yourself. Speak it out loud to yourself, to the devil, to whoever will listen, your spouse, your mother-in-law, whoever. Say it out loud who God says you are. Why? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let your ears hear it. Let your spirit man hear it. Amen? It's too good not to be true. It's too good not to be true. Stand with me. Amen, amen, amen. If you need to get those, if I went too fast, just let me know and I'll get you a copy of my notes or we'll put it on the website or something. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.